Saturday, January 18th. First reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. The word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. No creature is concealed from him, but everything is naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must render an account. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has similarly been tested in every way, yet without sin. So let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. Haydock Commentary. Some understand by the Word of God the eternal Word or Son of God, to whom may apply all in the 12th and 13th verses. But others rather expound it of the words, promises, and threats of God, either foretold by the prophets or preached by the apostles. All this language is metaphorical, but perfectly well understood by the Jews. In their sacrifices, the Levites made use of a two-edged knife to separate from the victim what was for God, what was for the priests, and what was for the people. Thus, in sacrificing sinners to the justice of God, Jesus Christ, like a two-edged knife, will separate what is for God and what is for man, that is, whatever is good or evil in the whole of man's conduct. If the word of God in Jesus Christ be so terrible, what will Jesus Christ be himself when he comes to judge us according to the severity of his justice? Christ, who ascended into heaven, can compassionate our infirmities. Let us with a firm confidence approach the throne of grace by faith, hope, charity, and good works. Let us often contemplate Jesus Christ on his two thrones, that of his mercy and that of his justice. Of his mercy, where at present he is seated as our compassionate high priest to bestow on us the riches of his grace. Of his justice, where he will one day sit as judge to examine most rigorously both our faith and our practice. Our separated brethren pretend to prove from this text that we need no help of saints to obtain any favor. But by this argument they may as well take away the helps and prayers of the living for one another. For we do not require the help of either the saints in heaven or of our brethren on earth through any mistrust of God's mercy, but on account of our own unworthiness, convinced that the prayer of a just man availeth more with him than the desire of a grievous sinner, and of a number making intercession together rather than of one alone. This they cannot deny, except they deny the Holy Scriptures. Neither do we come less to him or with less confidence when we come accompanied with the prayers of angels, saints, priests, or just men, but with much more confidence in his grace, mercy, and merits than if we prayed ourselves alone. The Gospel from Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Jesus went out along the sea. All the crowd came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the customs post. Jesus said to him, "Follow me," and he got up and followed Jesus. While he was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners sat with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Some scribes who were Pharisees saw that Jesus was eating with sinners and tax collectors, and said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus heard this and said to them, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Haydock Commentary. The person called Levi, to whom Christ addresses the words, "Follow me," was Matthew the Evangelist. See Matthew 9:9. To follow Christ is to imitate him. Wherefore this apostle, that he might be able to follow Christ, the model of poverty, not so much by his bodily steps as by the inward affections of his soul, forsook all. He not only forsook his present goods, but despised all danger, which he incurred by leaving his business abruptly and without rendering any account of it to his employers or governors.